Chapter 3. Why is it difficult to stop? As I explained earlier, I got interested in this subject because of my own addiction. When I finally stopped, it was like magic. When I previously tried to stop, there were weeks of black depression. There would be odd days when I was comparatively cheerful, but the next day, I was depressed again. It was like clawing your way out of a slippery pit. You feel you're near the top, you see the sunshine, and then find yourself sliding down again. Eventually, you light that cigarette. It tastes awful, and you try to work out why you have to do it. One of the questions I always ask smokers prior to my consultations is, do you want to stop smoking? In a way, it's a stupid question. All smokers would love to stop smoking. If you say to the most confirmed smoker, if you could go back in time before you became hooked, with the knowledge you have now, would you have started smoking? No way, is the reply. Say to the most confirmed smoker, someone who doesn't think that it injures his health, who's not worried about the social stigma, and who can afford it. There are not many about these days. Do you encourage your children to smoke? No way, is the reply. All smokers feel that something evil has got possession of them. In the early days, it's a matter of, I'm going to stop, not today, but tomorrow. Eventually, we get to the stage where we think either that we haven't got the willpower, or that there is something inherent to the cigarette that we must have in order to enjoy life. As I said previously, the problem is not explaining why it's easy to stop. It's explaining why it is difficult. In fact, the real problem is explaining why anybody does it in the first place, or why at one time more than 60% of the population in Britain was smoking. The whole business of smoking is an extraordinary enigma. The only reason we get onto it is because thousands of people are already doing it. Yet every one of them wishes he or she had not started in the first place, telling us that it's a waste of time and money. We can't quite believe that they're not enjoying it. We associate it with being grown up and work hard to become hooked ourselves. We then spend the rest of our lives telling our own children not to do it, and trying to kick the habit ourselves. We also spend the rest of our lives paying through the nose. The average 20-a-day smoker spends $100,000 or more in his or her lifetime on cigarettes. What do we do with that money? It wouldn't be so bad if we just set light to it. We actually use it systematically to congest our lungs with cancerous tars, progressively to clutter up and poison our blood vessels. Each day, we are increasingly starving every muscle and organ of oxygen, so that each day, we become more lethargic. We sentence ourselves to a lifetime of filth, bad breath, stained teeth, burnt clothes, filthy ashtrays, and the foul smell of stale tobacco. It is a lifetime of slavery. We spend half our lives in situations in which society forbids us to smoke. Churches, hospitals, schools, trains, theatres and the like. Or when we're trying to cut down or stop, feeling deprived. The rest of our smoking lives is spent in situations where we are allowed to smoke, but wish we didn't have to. What sort of hobby is it that when you're doing it, you wish you weren't? And when you're not doing it, you crave it. It's a lifetime of being treated by half of society like some sort of leper, and worst of all, a lifetime of an otherwise intelligent, rational human being going through life in self-contempt. The smoker despises himself every National Non-Smoking Day, every time he inadvertently reads the government health warning, or there's a cancer scare or a bad breath campaign, every time he gets congested or has a pain in the chest, every time he is the lone smoker in company with non-smokers. Having to go through life with these awful black shadows at the back of his mind, what does he get out of it? Absolutely nothing. Pleasure? Enjoyment? Relaxation? A prop? A boost? All illusions. Unless you consider the wearing of tight shoes to enjoy the removal of them as some sort of pleasure. As I've said, the real problem is trying to explain not only why smokers find it difficult to stop, but why anybody smokes at all. You're probably saying, well, that's all very well. I know this, but once you're hooked on these things, it's very difficult to stop. But why is it so difficult? And why do we have to do it? Smokers search for the answer to these questions all of their lives. Some say it's because of the powerful withdrawal symptoms. In fact, the actual withdrawal symptoms from nicotine are so mild, as you'll hear in Chapter 6, that most smokers have lived and died without ever realizing they're drug addicts. Some say cigarettes are very enjoyable. They aren't. They are filthy, disgusting objects. Ask any smoker who thinks he smokes only because he enjoys a cigarette if, when he hasn't got his own brand and can only obtain a brand he finds distasteful, he stops smoking. Smokers would rather smoke old rope than not smoke at all. Enjoyment has nothing to do with it. I enjoy lobster, but I never got to the stage where I had to have 20 lobsters hanging round my neck. With other things in life, we enjoy them while we're doing them, but we don't sit feeling deprived when we're not. Some search for deep psychological reasons, the Freudian syndrome, the child at the mother's breast. Really, it's just the reverse. The usual reason we start smoking is to show we're grown up and mature. If we had to suck a pacifier in public, we would die of embarrassment. Some think the appeal is the reverse, the macho effect of breathing smoke or fire down your nostrils. Again, this argument has no substance. A burning cigarette in the ear would appear ridiculous. How much more ridiculous to breathe cancer-triggering tars into your lungs? Some say, it's something to do with my hands. So, why light it? It's oral satisfaction. So, why light it? It's the feeling of the smoke going into my lungs. An awful feeling. It's called suffocation. Many believe smoking relieves boredom. This is also a fallacy. Boredom is a frame of mind. There is nothing interesting about a cigarette. For 33 years, my reason was that it relaxed me, gave me confidence and courage. I also knew it was killing me and costing me a fortune. Why didn't I go to my doctor and ask him for an alternative to relax me and give me courage and confidence? I didn't go because I knew he would suggest an alternative. It wasn't my reason. It was my excuse. Some say they only do it because their friends do it. Are they really that stupid? If so, they should pray that their friends don't start cutting their heads off to cure a headache. Most smokers who think about it eventually come to the conclusion that it's just a habit. This is not really an explanation, but once all the usual rational explanations have been discounted, it appears to be the only remaining excuse. Unfortunately, this explanation is equally illogical. Every day of our lives we change habits, and some of them are very enjoyable. We've been brainwashed into believing that smoking is a habit, and that habits are difficult to break. Are habits difficult to break? In the United Kingdom, we're in the habit of driving on the left side of the road. Yet when we drive on the European continent or in the United States, we immediately break that habit with hardly any aggravation whatsoever. It's clearly a fallacy that habits are hard to break. The fact is, we make and break habits every day of our lives. So why do we find it difficult to break a habit that tastes awful, that kills us, that costs us a fortune, that is filthy and disgusting, and that we would love to break anyway, when all we have to do is to stop doing it? The answer is that smoking is not habit. It is nicotine addiction. Most smokers find it difficult to give up smoking because they don't understand drug addiction. Their main reason is that they're convinced they get some genuine pleasure and or crutch from smoking, and believe that they're making a genuine sacrifice if they quit. The beautiful truth is that once you understand nicotine addiction and the true reasons why you smoke, you'll stop doing it, just like that. And within 3 weeks, the only mystery will be why you found it necessary to smoke as long as you did, and why you cannot persuade other smokers how nice it is to be a non-smoker.